Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
All right. Hello, everybody. It's Eva here.
Hi, it's Kylie. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Hello Universe.
What are we on now? Is this, it's been 3 months, 4 months?
Yeah, blowing through them.
Yeah. Yeah. Feels like something we've been doing both forever and also it still feels brand new.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like forever in the best possible way of like this, like it feels like a familiar space now of like, I'm wearing my cozy Hello Universe. Oh, we're going to make hoodies when we blow up, guys.
Yeah, but also we're like in this good groove, you know, like in some ways I feel like we're not like a perfect podcast, but like we really got this.
We might be.
Yeah, we might be. Yeah. But like we've got this, it's not hard, you know, like we've really found a good rhythm. And that's why it feels like we've been doing it forever. Cause I feel like, oh, like dusting off my shoulder. Like we're pretty damn good at this now.
Yeah. Actually, I just had like an image of us during the like French Renaissance hosting salons. Like maybe in past lifetimes we just facilitated enriching dialogue. Yeah, that's our jam.
I mean, honestly, that's still what I'm trying to do right now.
That's what I'm saying. We're pros. Okay, yeah. We'll stop now.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know or maybe new to the show, today's episode is a Kylie and Eva podcast. Because every once a month, we'll do an episode with just Kylie and I. In between having our awesome guests. So in case you're wondering where our guests are today. You're listening to them.
Before we dig in, because I have questions for you. In the lead up to this, we like tease to each other like what we want to discuss, but we are on strict order to not actually discuss it. So I have plenty of questions for you, Eva. But first, what is going on in your world and your business that you want to tell our listeners about?
Well, I think after people listen to this episode, they'll probably get an even better sense of the work that I'm doing and why I'm so passionate about it. But really, I am working with...
Can I give a hint? So if someone's like on the fence, like, I like this. I don't know if I should listen to this or this other podcast.
Yeah.
Eva's going to talk about a shroom trip in a minute. So you want to listen to this podcast episode.
I did mushrooms this weekend, basically, by myself, by the way. And And all of that is informing my work so beautifully. So to sum it up, I'm working with women who, like me, I think are passionate and hardworking, but also I think that tends to sometimes cross over into anxiety, stress, overwhelm, trying to do all the things. And I really believe that my work is to help women just be more free, calm, and confident. And all of that comes with, you know, being able to be in the present moment, not having to listen to all the things that are going on in your head, self-love, like all of these important pieces, I think, of what it means to really be truly confident, not like a quiet confidence, I think, which is something that we're all kind of looking for. Another way of saying it is I also think just inner peace. And I feel so inspired, I think, by my experience on this mushroom trip and by the women that I've been working with that I just feel really called to do this work. So if you consider yourself someone who's anxious, it tends to show up in a lot of different ways, whether it's in your job or in your relationships or just in your relationship with yourself and how you show up socially, this program is for you.
Would it be helpful for you as someone who took your meditation program to tell you about how I would describe it?
That would be so helpful.
Okay. All right. If you are someone who has always been drawn to meditation, but stops and starts with a practice or like reads books about it, but then like it downloads all the apps, but doesn't really make it work. Eva is the person to work with because in her incredibly gorgeous energy and her grounding presence and her thoughtful questions, she's going to help hold your feet to the fire, but it's like a warm, loving fire. And also like give you the structure. So there's some accountability to actually develop this meditation practice you've been curious about forever, but also the framework of some space to process whatever comes up in the meditation practice so that it doesn't just feel like an echo chamber, which is, I think, why some of us quit meditation to begin with. How's that?
Okay, so I'm going to take that little snapshot and like put it into my bio and all the things, because I love the way that you explained it. I would add also that there's a large focus on mindset, because I really do believe that changing or becoming aware of what we're thinking and also changing our mindset from like fearful and doubtful, that's how we act to like a more, you know, loving, calm place. That's actually how behavior changes. So, but that's also all tied into meditation, because when you're meditating, you're learning how to observe your thoughts and learning how to respond to them rather than react compulsively, you know, reacting based on your old unhealthy habits. So that is the work that I do. And if it sounds interesting to you, you can book a free 45-minute consult with me at evenlyout.com, or just hit me up in my DMs at badbitchliving on Instagram.
Do it.
And what about you, Kylie? What are you working on these days?
So this is the first week of Alchemy for Healers, my course, which I'm just so freaking excited about. The people who are in it are just such angels. There's already all these amazing connections. You know what I will say? Be mindful of the language you use, guys. It really does matter. And here's my example. So this is a course you guys have heard me talk about a million times about how to like transform your limiting beliefs if you are a healer or you're working towards becoming a healer, coach, etc. And when people would ask me like, oh, what are the, who's going to take this course? Every single time I would be like, you know, Reiki masters. And then I'd say something else afterwards. But I, for some reason, always said Reiki masters first. Guys, there are 8 people taking the course. I shit you not, 6 of them are Reiki masters.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So like even people who, I didn't realize that, like when they first signed up, turns out they are also Reiki masters. So just like the universe, man, it sends you what you ask for. But anyway, so doors are closed for that, but I will probably be talking about it because it's already beautiful and amazing. But right now, what I want to just mention is booking a records reading with me. I just earlier today had a reading with someone and I got off the phone and I just basically cried because I felt so freaking grateful that, like, I don't know how I got this particular superpower. Like, everyone's got one and this one's mine. And I feel like, whoo, I'm really grateful. It's a huge, huge, huge honor to be able to like connect people's energy in such a beautiful way and share messages with people. And just like, I don't know, kind of a loss for words, which is ironic because I, you know, I never stop talking. But yeah, I just have been doing, you know, I've been lucky enough to be doing a lot of readings lately. And I just, every single time I'm so moved, like afterwards, everyone's like, oh, thank you so much. And I'm like, no, for real. Thank you. So if you are interested, I think one of the ways that I really love to use the Akashic Records is a million ways to use them to heal, but is to like look at the things that keep popping up for you, right? Like maybe you have a fear around visibility and there's a way in which you want to step onto a stage, but you're feeling, but it feels really scary and you think you understand it, but you don't. Like, this is the kind of thing that I think is perfect to bring into the records, unpack the way it's shown up for you in this lifetime. Maybe we look at other lifetimes if that makes sense, and just like heap a whole bunch of energetic love and dissolve the issue a little bit. So if there's like a something that is just like, I don't know how to break this habit, I don't understand why I'm doing this thing, get a reading. Let's figure it out. Let's bring you some clarity and some grace. So
yeah, which is to say, I think.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, I think, really also like such a basis for real change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So akashicgrace.org.
Great.
So promo's out of the way. I am dying to hear about your brush with divinity via shrooms.
Okay. Where do I even begin? Okay. So for anyone who heard last week's podcast with Amy, in the beginning, Kylie and I were talking about how I wanted to double down on my spiritual journey, spiritual exploration and exploration of my own mind. And I was like, but also we're in quarantine and, you know, there's nowhere to go. Normally, I was like, really what I was craving was like, I wanted to pack up all my bags and move to India or something. Like that's kind of what I was feeling called for. It was like, I want to like put pause on my entire life and dive way, way, way in. But I was like, since I can't do that, why don't I bring the trip to me? So it's been kind of
on what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's true. Like that's really what I was thinking at the time. I had been thinking about doing mushrooms for a while and I was like, oh, quarantine's just like the perfect time to do it because really it's like, you're going to be, what the fuck else are you going to do? I want to give some background information on doing mushrooms though. Because
also for any of you listening who are like, this is a world way outside of my normal, I am your guide here because I like smoked pot once and had a panic attack and didn't touch it again. So I have,
we're coming from different experiences, which is why I want to give some background because I don't know what the experience of our audience is. I guarantee, know for sure that there are definitely people out there who have done mushrooms because it's actually not, that rare. I think a lot of people explore, but I also know that there's probably people who've never even smoked a cigarette or whatever. So like, I think there's the spectrum and I want to give some background information on why I want to do shrooms and what it means to me. Because I think
go ahead. Sorry. I was trying to check if it was on mute or not so I could say Blondie.
Kylie's trying to inconspicuously eat a cookie. I say just go for it.
I don't want to hear my chomping. Okay.
Keep going. You eat your cookie, I'll continue. I think that I want to make it super clear that mushrooms for me is such a spiritual experience. And I think for most people who do shrooms, that's what it turns out being. I think someone had asked, because this isn't my first time doing mushrooms. I've done mushrooms, I don't know, whatever, probably a good handful plus more of times. And, I've tried actually drugs probably across the spectrum, but with mushrooms, it's not like a recreational drug. It's not like a party drug. Some people might do it at festivals, but that's not what this is for me. I have so much respect and reverence for mushrooms. There's a kind of a fear that goes into it when you first start doing it because it's intense and you are going on a fucking journey. And once you take those mushrooms, you do not come back out for another 6 to 8 hours. So it's like a commitment. And what do I want to say about that? Yeah, I guess that I don't do it lightly. And there is like some fear, but I think the fear is healthy fear. It's not like, I think it's like just so much respect for this plant medicine, which is how I see it, which is offered up by nature. I don't know. Yeah. So that's how I feel about mushrooms. And again, so I'm not new to it, but what it was at first for me was doing it by myself in my own apartment. Like, I think one of my takeaways from this experience really is that I am brave. Like, I am a brave motherfucker. And I'm feeling like pat on the back for myself with that. Cause like I'm really dedicated to my own spiritual awakening. And if it takes me doing something really scary, I know that I'm willing to dive into the deep end. And I have before in other ways. And
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What feels scarier? 10-day silent meditation or shrooms by yourself?
Oh, shrooms by yourself for sure. Mm. For sure. Yeah. I think 10 days meditation, it's more like it can be dread because it's like, oh, it's going to be this arduous process. But with shrooms, like, yeah, let go of all control. And you really have no idea what the fuck is going to happen. Like,
so for a total newbie who's never done shrooms, what is the experience like?
Okay. Good question. I think it's going to be different for every single person. Mm. Obviously I can share my experience and I think there'll probably be some crossover with what other people experience, but the way that I liken it to this idea, I don't actually know if it's true or not, but people say you only use 10% of your brain. Mm-hmm. I think what happens on psychedelics is like you start using like 50% of your brain and your whole world just opens wide open and you're just like, mm-hmm. Holy shit, I am seeing things and experiencing things and thinking about things and have perspective on things in a way that my mind is just not capable of doing in your day-to-day life. So it's complete expansion. So for the mind, that's what it feels like. It's also very heart-opening drug or whatever you want to call it. Like, and I'll probably talk about that more, but a lot of people talk about experiencing like warmth in the chest, like great experiences of empathy and compassion. And there's a lot of laughter and silliness and crying. So like, there's that too. You can also bad trip. So are you familiar with bad trips?
I mean, like the concept of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it can also go way, way
actually, south. Actually, when I smoked pot and had had a bad trip and smashed a hole in my friend's wall. And anyways, it was bad. So
yep.
Yeah. Do those things.
Yep. So it's kind of like that.
It was a hot mess in my life. I probably could handle it better now, but
yeah. Oh, totally. Anyway. I've had bad trips before. Yeah. When I was younger, and I have to say it's totally a reflection of where you are in your life. Yeah. So if for people who are interested, there's this idea of set and setting, set being like you need to be set in your mind. Like if you're in a really anxious state, you're in deep depression, like that is not the time to do mushrooms. And then there's also your set needs to be like, you need to be in a pretty good place emotionally and spiritually and all that. And then there's setting, which is like, you want to be comfortable where you are, safe with people who you completely trust and all that stuff, or else you can start to get paranoid.
Okay, so tell us what happened.
Okay, what so what? I don't, it's like I have all these notes, and I'm like, where do I even begin?
I know.
Okay, hold on.
How do you break down something? I mean, this is always mushrooms or not. This is the challenge of like, how do you break down a divine experience into language, which is finite and limited? Yeah.
So I think what would make sense is for me to lay out what my intentions were for a trip. So every time I do something like this, I find it sacred and spiritual. I'll have set intentions, and so my first intention was to be open and to allow myself to be guided. So I was asking for guidance, and I was like, and I'm just going to be super open to whatever comes. And the second theme intention was like, I'm going to just trust myself because I'm like so alone in this that's all I can do is just like totally trust myself. Yeah. So that was basically like the theme of my trip. And I feel like I got some like spiritual downloads or whatever you want to call it, like some very, very clear insights on questions that I had. And also it really solidified that like, I can trust myself. So in a way I got a lot out of it. I kind of got, awesome. I think what I was looking for, which is awesome.
Yeah. I also love the dual intention of trusting yourself and asking for guidance because, that's really two sides of the same coin. Like they're the inverse. They're the same intention, right? Like, because it all comes from within, we are everything. And so by trusting yourself, you allow the guidance that is within to rise up.
Totally. So, yeah. Really beautiful. Totally. And also I do believe that guidance is also like, so the idea is that you are part of the universe and the universe is part of you. There's no separation. So I also believe that this guidance was, that's the thing. I don't know if it came from without or from within, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But it just felt very clear.
Yeah.
So one thing that I definitely feel just very, I think it's a feeling of humility and also gratitude, which is that like, I just feel so, like normally I try not to make absolute statements, but because I feel like they sound pompous, but in truth, this is how I feel. And I feel like it was confirmed in my trip, which is that there is nothing else more important in life for anybody, I'm going to just say this, than your own freedom. Like waking the fuck up, getting free, becoming as enlightened as possible. And I don't believe that enlightenment is this far away thing. That's why I think I can say that. I think enlightenment is, you know, available to all of us.
So by freedom, you mean like freedom, like you don't mean freedom like you don't have to work a 9-to-5 job. You mean freedom like enlightenment freedom.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually curious, what do you hear when I say that? Like, what do you think freedom means to you?
Well, in this particular moment, the word freedom, if I'm totally honest, it's the loaded word in general, but in this moment where we're all like in quarantine, I think of how freedom means different things to different people. And there's people who are like protesting in the streets because they have to be in quarantine and they need to be free.
Okay. So you're saying.
And there's people who talk about freedom in terms of like, I like, you know, I have a good friend who's like, our family's number one value is freedom. And they like are like total nomads. It's awesome. Like they and their three boys like live new places all the time. And that's an important value that they're like raising their family with. So I guess the reason I asked the question is because I think freedom means a lot of things to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so I was curious how it shows up for you.
Yeah. I think for me, what I mean is freedom from suffering. Like no more internal suffering, no more suffering, period, I guess. Meaning, yeah. I think there is such a thing as like, even when you are caught in the middle of a fucking shitstorm and things are really bad, there's like an enlightened being would be one who can just love what is. And that is like everything. So like, you know, for listeners who know me, like I'm really into Byron Katie, and that's like a lot of the mindset work that I do with people, but that's her whole thing, which is like loving reality, because reality means that there's, you allow room for everything, that you reject nothing. And it doesn't mean acceptance of fucked up shit of, that doesn't mean that you tolerate things that are corrupt and wrong. It just means that in this moment, you're not resisting life at all. And when you're not resisting life, you don't suffer.
I also feel like there's something about, like, for me, like loving the resistance. Right? Mm-hmm. Because something that I spend a lot of time getting trapped into is resistance rises up, and then I'm like in a fight with the resistance.
Right.
But all of which is just taking you further and further away. Well, and when I, yeah, go ahead. Go
sorry.
Ahead.
Well, I'm so excited. This is what Eckhart Tolle says about that's just more of the same shit coming through the back door.
Yeah. Right.
So loving what is means whatever is. And mm-hmm. that takes a huge amount of self-awareness. Like you have to be so present to know exactly what is. So to even notice that, oh, what you're resisting is the resistance is mm-hmm. because you're self-aware enough to know that. And then to accept that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All acceptance to me really is another word for love. And love dissolves all fear and all ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So freedom, and that's this awesome thing that's like happening with my clients too. It's like, I can never really explain it to them. And then we'll be doing this, the mindset work together. And then they drop some sort of like limiting belief that they've been having. And then I ask them how they feel. And they're just like, oh, I just feel like completely at ease and like myself and in the present moment. And I was like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. Like that's freedom. Like you got it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've experienced true peace before. That's, I think, why I'm so obsessed with this work, is because I've had moments in life of experiencing true, true peace. And I'm not there all the time, obviously, but I think now that it's hooked into me, like.
Do you know it's a possibility?
Yeah, it's never going to let me go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in I may have shared this. I think I shared this on our first podcast, but I was at some like workshop. And we did a group meditation, and I like went somewhere far away. I don't even someone that really has visions that much. I'm more of a language person, but I like was on this beach, and there was this like figure next to me that I think now is a guide. At the time, that wasn't really my language. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, when you walk into a room, and you're like, what is that smell? Mm-hmm. And you like know it, and it takes you a minute to put your finger on it. It was like that, but I was like, what is that feeling? That feeling that is, whoa, what is that? Mm. And then I was like, oh, that's love. But like everything, there wasn't anything to cut it, right? Mm-hmm. Just,
yeah.
And so it felt so potent. It was unrecognizable, but also like, it just felt fucking incredible. And I came out of that and was like, I have this like, yeah, I just felt like, guys. So I can see why you're so excited about your trip, because I did. I had this feeling of like, I just want to tell everybody. We could just feel like we were in love all the time. Like, yeah. Wait, we can't even describe.
Yes, totally. But the thing is, I actually think that that's something that I've like come back to again, and I've experienced, is that I keep trying to get to that. But the thing is, in reality, it's actually very, I don't know how to explain it. It's actually very simple. Whenever we get to that, we realize, oh, it's actually so simple. I thought it was this complicated, complex, intangible, like, you know, fleeting thing. But it's actually like when we just come back down to like the purity of just like this moment, then we get to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you remember where I was going with that?
Okay, so talking about freedom. Your intentions, and then you felt like what you saw is that the most important thing for any of us is pursuing our own enlightenment and freedom. And then I went on a long tangent because I made you define freedom.
Yes.
So guys, we haven't even gotten to her trip yet. It's just.
Yeah. But thank you for Yeah, for remembering that. Such a good memory. I don't know, that kind of feels like a pompous statement, but it's kind of like saying, what's the meaning of life? And I think the meaning of life is living a happy life, like enjoying your life and being peaceful and happy. And to me, like all these things are connected. Like when you're free, like truly free in your mind, then you get to be all those things. Then you get to be happy and joyful, and then you get to enjoy your life.
Yeah.
So in a way, I actually feel like it's not that, I'm not saying anything new. This is what everybody wants. It's just that people call it different things.
We walk around so often feeling like, and this is why I love that we're doing this podcast, because I think we walk around thinking that it's not an option. I think we have been sold a bill of goods because we've just been, you know, one family generation passes it on to the next, capitalism, racism, like you name it, but we've been sold a bill of goods that like we are allowed fleeting moments of peace mm-hmm. and satisfaction if we work hard enough, if we are prove ourselves good enough, if, and all of that's a fucking lie.
Totally. Because
the truth is, underneath all of that, like wasting to like burst out, is just like pure radiant divine love that is our true nature of being.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, but like it's just the facts, guys.
Yeah, but you're so right. I think so much of the problem is that some people are listening to this and may not even, you know, are just like, well, this just sounds like a bunch of bullshit. You know, some people to this idea of like freedom and happiness seems like a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. Like, and that used to be me. I was so cynical at one point in my life that I was like, oh, maybe this is it. Like, I remember having a conversation with my friend Alex, who I love, but he's also cynical and dark and sarcastic as hell. And we were both just like, this is it. Like, maybe this is good as good as life gets. And so I can understand that. But also then there's also how we get in our own way, right? The minute we start feeling happy, then we self-sabotage, and then we think that we don't even deserve it. So there's all these different ways in which it's what everybody wants, yet.
Although I would push on the notion of self-sabotage. I kind of hate that phrase because I think the parts of ourselves that resist, like Brené Brown says that joy is like the most terrifying human emotion, right? The parts of us that, because it's so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the parts of ourselves that self-sabotage, it's an attempt to keep us safe, right? There's something about what we're experiencing or what we're close to experiencing that doesn't feel safe, maybe, you know, for whatever combination of reasons. Mm-hmm. And so at least in my journey, recognizing when those gremlins pop up that like a way that I am learning to not resist the resistance is to recognize that like even that is an act of love. An act of love. It's just like maybe misguided, like an overprotective mother who
totally
like, means well, but is totally fucking up her kid.
Yep.
You know?
Yes. So something that I say to my clients all the time, because this is something that they will discover in our sessions, is like, I say, it's actually a healthy response to an unhealthy situation. It's a healthy response. It's where your wires are crossed. It's a healthy and completely normal response to some unhealthy trauma or belief that you're holding on to. That being said, I do still think it's self. I remember days where I was like, I would literally sabotage myself being like, this feels too good. I'm going to go and blow my life up and have all these toxic behaviors and get like shit faced drunk or go and do exactly the opposite of what exactly I was supposed to do and intentionally blow my life up. And that was self-sabotage. Like, like there was a point in my life where I liked chaos, where I like was feeding off the drama because that was like the devil I knew. It was like bad, but it was comfortable. So like,
it was comfortable.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, the other thing I want to talk about was this idea of self-trust, which I don't know if really there's much to say about that. Like, I think something that was very affirming was that like, I was looking to take mushrooms to find answers. Mm. And I realized that actually in my mushroom trip, I was like, oh no, all the things that you're thinking about already and that you care about, those are already super spot on. like the conversations that you and I are having, right? The conversation right now, the work that we're trying to do, like helping other women, building community, wanting to uplift people, do healing. Like I was like, it just, I guess in a way showed maybe that I was doubting it, because I went back, I went into this other realm or whatever. And I was like, oh no, you're good. Like you're all the stuff that you care about, right on track.
Yes. So that was
very affirming. Yeah. Okay. But something that I want to talk to you specifically about was, I guess this idea of has something to do with the femininity, has something to do with the patriarchy.
You know, I'm down for it.
Yeah. And I know that you love talking about the patriarchy. Okay. So let me look at my notes. What did I write here? Right. So
on our Instagram stories, we need to post a picture of the fact that you came to this interview
with notes
to walk us through your trip.
Okay. Well, so I think in order to talk about this, I need to back up a little bit. Kyle, you and I have had that conversation off record, but our listeners have not heard this yet, this story. So I'm going to give a little bit of background, which is that more than a year ago, I went to Colorado and I had another sort of plant medicine spiritual experience with two women. And it was beautiful, but it was also very intense. And I remember getting really, really, really freaked out because I felt like I was being, it felt like being part of a witch's coven, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. But also I was like, this feels scary and freaky and dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I could feel myself sort of like backing out slowly. So ever since that time, I've been questioning, like, why was I so scared of that? And what am I afraid of? And I noticed that I have a bias against feminine energy.
Oh, damn. I love this revelation so much.
Yes. Okay. So, and I want to be clear, right? So from what I understand, and I want you to help me out here because I want to make sure that I'm like using proper language and being mindful, but I'm not talking about like male and female. Right. I'm talking about more like feminine and masculine, right? Which I think is in all of us, regardless of how you identify.
The way I like to describe it is like, we live in a world of polarity. We live in a world that has divided things in two. And so we live in a world that has decided that masculine and feminine are separate. They're actually, it's all whole, but we've separated them. And then we've assigned one to men and one to woman, but it's all arbitrary, right? Mm. So it's all one. Mm-hmm. And we can all like reach in the grab bag and be any one of the things.
Yes. I love it.
But we live in a world that's obsessed with separation. So it's
separation and also trying to define things in black and white terms so that our brains can easily understand them.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we see like the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, like there's all these different ways these terms get thrown out there. And I think it's really important that, so I'm glad we're starting here. I just think that we're starting with like defining the terms. This is like the most academic podcast ever. I'm loving it so much.
No, I know, because you're bringing your education into this, which is, I love
because
it.
Because I do think it's really important that we like you said, recognize that like, you know, we all have access to all of these things, and like men aren't uniquely masculine and women aren't uniquely feminine, but we have made it so that masculinity is prized and femininity is devalued. Mm-hmm. And then men and women accordingly are separated and ranked. And also that men aren't allowed access to femininity. So the other thing that happens, and this might be a little bit tangent, but women, because, you know, the work of feminism, women are allowed access to some masculine, right? Mm-hmm. Like we get to vote now, we get to own property, we get to occasionally be bossy, but femininity is still so problematic and devalued that men aren't really allowed access to the feminine, which is why like a guy crying is like the worst thing ever, right?
Mm-hmm. And
like, which means I think men aren't given enough space to like have feelings and talk about their shit, but that's a whole nother tangent. Sorry, I'm like going.
This is exactly what I want to talk about, and I think it's important that we talk about it. And I like, listeners, if you're out there and you're like, amen to this, like I would love to know what our listeners think too, and where they lie, what their experience is, and you know, like I want to know how other people feel about their energy, like their feminine and both their masculine energies, because I think that I am someone who actually has a lot of masculine energy. And I think I like to get shit done for sure. you know, I do value logic a lot, which I think is associated with like masculine. And a lot of it's also my upbringing. So like my mom was most like largely absent when I was younger. And so I was raised by my dad and my brother. Mm-hmm. And I had like a lot of really good close girlfriends when I was younger. So these women like saved my lives and they are still part of my family essentially. But I also had this whole thing where I was like one of the guys and prided myself on being one of the mm-hmm. guys, which now I look back on and I'm like, oh, I feel like I was a traitor to my own sex. You know, I was never like, I was lucky because I had guy friends and girlfriends. And so it wasn't ever like, oh, I don't want to be a girl. But there was a little bit of like, oh, being part of the boy group is cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So
I do.
Yeah,
because I was always a super girly girl. Like I loved like sparkles and pink or whatever. And when I got a little bit older, I like found myself, not like now older, but like in my early 20s, I wanted to like rewrite the story and have been a tomboy. Like because I thought that was cooler, which on one level is about femininity being devalued,
mm-hmm. or
dangerous, which that's I feel like that's where your trip is gonna go.
Yeah.
And also masculinity is cool. And so yeah, anyway,
exactly. On. That's what I'm saying. That's why being part of the boys is a good thing, because somehow in our society that's deemed to be mm-hmm. whatever, more acceptable or more valuable or yeah. whatever. Which also goes along with all of these stories about how being girly is bad and pink is bad, and how a lot of girls I think also grow up with that. Like there are a lot of people who might say that they are girly, and then there's also a lot of people who got shit for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
my son's favorite color is pink, and like he has a pair of like unicorn leggings that we bought at the girls section, and he's like obsessed with them. And like, yeah, he has lots of pink stuff, and I'm already sad for the day that some shitty kid is going to say something to him and they'll come home. I mean, who knows? It's pandemic till 2027 at this point. So maybe he will get pink for a long time, but there's a part of him that's already sad for the day that he comes home and is like, realizes it's not cool for little boys to like pink.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So going off of that, just recognizing my own biases and conditionings, and also that I do to have a lot of masculine energy. I think what set me off about being part of that witch's coven was immediately I associated with one with being weird and crazy, mm-hmm. right? Can we just have a whole conversation about that? Like that's another thing. That's conditioning from literally witches being burned at the stake, right?
I'm biting my tongue because I have so much to say. I won't be able to finish. Yes.
And also, this is the story that so many women carry, which is that I am too much.
Mm.
That if I, which then also, and then we could talk about it in the healing space, right? Like, so as healers, it's like, oh, I don't want to be too weird. You know, the conversation that we've had with so many people on this guest of like, oh, I didn't want to be that crazy witch woman, or I didn't want to be that person who was so off the deep end that like no one trusted me, because again, we live in a society where like that stuff is not valued. And, you know, people who would be shamans in a different culture are considered wackos. In mm-hmm. America. So yeah. I'm going to pass the microphone yes. to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, the other thing is, this is something that actually I have seen a lot in the records. And it's interesting. I think I've shared before how like the same kind of client keeps coming to me over and over again in a way that I just find really like hilarious, because it's just so on the nose. Mm-hmm. And I think is also particularly about this exact moment that we're at. But the witch thing is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, and the truth is, anyone right now who's listening to this podcast, if you are someone who likes crystals, has a tarot deck, listens to spirituality podcasts, like is interested in this stuff, chances are, in one of your many lifetimes, in many of your many lifetimes, you were a healer, a wise woman, like someone who used the divine feminine, maybe not, yeah, used the divine feminine to have access to power, because divinity is power, right? Mm-hmm. And were punished for that. Mm-hmm. And I have seen one client reading after the other of the past life shit mm-hmm. that we all carry with us around this issue, and it shows up differently depending on what you've experienced. But like, if you are someone who, like for me, I'll tell my own story. I, for a long time, was really afraid that if I showed up to do this work, I was jeopardizing my family safety.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which, like, isn't really logical, right? Like, I have a podcast and I, like, read people. That doesn't make any sense. But I felt, like, very deeply afraid to really put myself out there because I thought, like, I'll lose my job. Like, they'll fire me. Like, they don't give a shit. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But, like, and when I went, when I had, for a couple different healers, kept seeing the same thread of this one past life. And I might have even shared this. Have I shared this story before on the podcast?
I think a little bit.
Oh, but, okay. But so I won't go into it. But basically, I was a healer and baby died. I was blamed and I was taken away from my family and my kids didn't have, I was a single mother. So my kids were abandoned and it didn't end well for me. And so I was really afraid to do this. And it made something simple like putting my face on an Instagram post mm-hmm. really fucking scary. And mm-hmm. that might seem bananas, but I've seen this for so many people. And I've also seen that, like, once this part of ourselves is tended to, which doesn't necessarily mean you have to excavate a past life, but once the, like, fear is met with some, like, love and nurturing.
Yeah, and understanding.
And understanding mm-hmm. and compassion and also a healthy nudge of, like, but do it anyway. Like, there's a huge amount of healing that's happening because this is a lifetime, and this is what's so fucking cool about this moment. This is the lifetime where it gets to be safe to do that shit. It gets mm-hmm. to be safe to be a coach, a healer, a wise woman, a leader, a shaman, whatever the fuck it is that you are called to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is the lifetime where you get to be of service with your gifts and you're not going to get burned at the stake.
Yeah. I would even say, even if you don't want to be a healer, even if you're just a woman who wants to speak up and share your ideas and know that you're not going to get, like, crucified. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I guess I should say, I use the term healer to mean, in my mind, mm-hmm. like the freedom word, in my mind, by healer, I mean, like, are you interested in your own healing journey? You're mm-hmm, a healer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because as we heal ourselves, like, that's the thing that I have seen very powerfully, that the most powerful way that we can heal the world is to, like, really truly get real with our shit and heal our own shit.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
can't skip over that and try mm-hmm. to, like, do all this, like, right. it's just window dressing. Right. Otherwise.
Well, in fact, when you heal yourself, you are healing the world.
Yes.
Like, it is. There's their hand in hand. They go hand in hand. There's no separation. There's no
separation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
how did, let me ask you this. How did it come to you, right? That you were like, oh, I,
this is where it gets, like, real weird.
Please. I want the weird.
Except maybe it isn't that weird because remember I told you I was like told the universe, essentially I set out an intention. I'm going to be open. And I was like, I literally lay down on my couch and I was like, okay, guide me. And it's very hard to explain when you're tripping. Cause they're like, it's a full body experience. I basically, like, forgot I was tripping. I was just laying on the couch and I felt like I was being taken through all of these thoughts, almost as if I was having a conversation with someone else, but it could have just been me having thoughts on my own. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that there was something there. I don't know. Like, it could have been all of it. And then all of a sudden I just, like, woke up, like, from my, like, whatever that was, like, stay dream. And I was like, whoa, like, I just had a huge amount of information, like shared with me. And I just processed all of these things. And so quickly, I had no idea how long that was. It could have been 20 minutes. It could have been an hour. But I was just like, whoa, all of this insight is, yeah, I guess that's a good word for it. All this insight just came to me. So I was like, well, I mean, when I was done with that, I was like, okay, like, I could be done with this trip now. I feel like I've gotten everything that I need to get. Cause I got so much confirmation about, like, cause I think sometimes I feel self-conscious or like, I'm not sure, like, am I being crazy for being such a seeker, for seeking my own freedom and seeking joy and seeking liberation? I'm like, is that indulgent? And it was like such a clear sign of, like, not only is that not indulgent, that's the only thing you need to fucking focus on. Of course. It doesn't matter how you,
really a bomb. Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you do it. Like, for some people, it will be through your work. Through some people will be through your relationships. Like, but it doesn't matter how you do it. Just, like, get free.
It matters that you listen to your own, like, inner guidance of how you do it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. for some, for like, because it's your own path. So your point, like there's a lot of different ways that it will show up for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shows up in your suffering. Your suffering is always like a little, like that's where you know that like you're not free. So if you're like, right, but we've talked about this before. So like if you're a mother and your kids are bringing up a lot of shit for you and you're, you know, over controlling and scared all the time, the work that you do to get yourself at a place of inner peace and freedom there is where you will experience like that enlightenment in that area. And then for someone else, it's like, maybe you're in a really toxic romantic relationship and you need to get the fuck out and you're scared and all of these things, like where you heal in that area is where you find your freedom.
Well, sometimes for me, I think I've shared this before, like when I'm stressed in life, it gets dumped in the bucket of work. Like work is the thing for me, like other people it's relationship, yeah. But work
me,
is the right.
Me same, too. Yeah. Same. Same. Right? Same.
And so when I like, you know, I have two small kids, I don't get a chance to like write in my journal that much. When I do, all I want to do is write about work. I want to write about my relationship with my corporate job. I want to write about, you know, the work that I'm doing, the work that I feel called to do. And sometimes I'm like, you freaking narcissist. Why are you always writing about work and like work and work and work? Like this is not the most important thing. Why aren't you writing about family? And like, I have, as you all know, I have lots of thoughts about like motherhood and relationships. And, but so that the light bulb moment for me just now is like, yeah, because that's the spiritual work for me shows up perhaps most pressingly in work. And so in this lifetime, it's like, it's where the great teacher is for me.
Yeah.
At least kind in of, this moment of this lifetime, who knows, yeah. 10 years from now.
Right. Right. About. In this phase of your life. And also that's the other thing. We also all go through different phases, right? Like we just happen to be like in our 30s. So like work is a prevalent thing. Like in our 40s and 50s, it could be something completely different. But like, that's the other thing though. It's never really about work. Like, yes, it's about work, but it's about like,
it's just the vehicle.
Yeah, it's the vehicle or the playground of, you know, like, so Jasmine used this other guest that we recorded with, who will be coming up, but she talked about like, if that's just the current playground that we're playing around in to try and find freedom in. And then you like, you know, there've been other playgrounds in my life that I have found freedom in. One of them being toxic relationship and dating fuckboys. Like that was a real thing that I did, or other flipping it the other way around. I was really inconsiderate. I was an asshole to a lot of people I was dating because I was also hurt. And I really feel like I did a lot of healing, and that's why now I can be in like a much healthier, loving relationship. And so, and now, yeah, my playground is my job.
Can we pause on that though for 1 second? Because I do feel like, because we're going to skip over that. And I feel like there's someone who's listening who's single and is like, wait, I don't get to have a relationship until I heal. Like, I think that's a story sometimes we tell ourselves, that we can't have the things we want until we make ourselves worthy, which is to put another way, if you're single and you don't want to be single, it must be because you haven't healed properly yet. So I just,
that's not true. I would actually say that I was still, one of the healthiest relationships I had was in the beginning of my healing, because I do think that being in the beginning process of my healing was important, because otherwise I wouldn't have made that choice for myself. But yeah, you don't have to have it all figured out, be perfect and, you know, to be in a relationship or to do anything, you know?
Yes.
You're kind of like always building the plane as you fly it.
As
you say. Yeah. okay. So then this idea of feminine energy, masculine energy. So then I noticed that I was like, oh, the reason that was scary to me in Colorado when I was around these other women was because I was like, if I get sucked into this, like, I don't trust myself. Like, I think I'm going to go crazy, or, you know, I was judging myself. So it was good just to notice, because sometimes just awareness alone can help you be like, oh, I don't have to abide by that anymore. But then I had this other very interesting thought, which was like, oh, but wait, part of the reason I'm also afraid of feminine is because of feminine energy, which I equate to also like Mother Nature. I have these ideas of Mother Nature being just like the ultimate force of everything. Cause like, man is nothing in comparison to Mother Nature, right? Like she can, as we've seen, she can wipe out, you know, whole cities in a matter of minutes. But the reason I'm scared of her is because she is a force to be reckoned with, and that actually I should be afraid of her. Like not in this like terrified way, but similar to what I was saying about mushrooms, like reverence. Yeah. Awe and reverence, and being like, it really gave me the sense of like, oh, if, and then now I think I'm getting into more like women in power or people who identify as women, like, I don't know. I just really think like if we keep going, like if we come together, we could fucking take over this goddamn world and save it.
Oh my God. Is this what your trip told you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Which
yes.
like, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm wondering if this is just the natural evolution. If it's just, kind of taking a long time, but like if that's where we're headed.
And I mean, this what do you is, think? Yes, this is.
You're like, this is everything that I stand for. This is everything
that I stand for. Which is like personal empowerment, right? Like again, like masculine and feminine, we all get access to it. So this isn't about like, this isn't about women necessarily stepping up. It's about, I think
I see
the divine feminine balancing with the divine masculine, which means that we all have our own internal balance and we're not afraid of any one part of ourselves. And men get access to like expressing fucking emotions and get being allowed to cry. And women get to appreciate and like fucking revel in their own power. And we're in balance because individually we're in balance and collectively we're in balance. And then the whole fucking paradigm change.
Yes. Okay. I love that. And I think that would be so beautiful. And part of me thinks like maybe that's where we're headed. However, this is where I get, this is where I have questions because I do get polarized. I see myself being like, no, I want women, maybe with an X in there, to take over the world. Like, I'm like, it's our time to be in positions of power because I think that like we could do it better. And I'm curious what you think about that.
So this is
because that is a very polarized thought, right? Men versus women. I don't think it has to be like that, but for some reason, part of me is also like, yeah, that sounds awesome.
I mean, our current government is such. Anyways, I won't turn into a whole tirade about what I think about our president, but that's I want to, which is interesting because he's like the ultimate like kind of a certain kind of masculine energy of like. Taking and bravado and just like gross overconfidence and you know anyway what do I think about that?
Maybe that'll be the first wave, and then the second wave will be like the younger generation of men who are, like you said, things are just more imbalanced with like how we teach our children. And so it won't have to be such a divide between men and women. Do you know what I mean? Because like my hope is down the line, like there won't even really be all these labels.
Here's actually, well, okay. Because here's where I think I'm pausing because let me see if I can even articulate this. I feel like this notion of like women leaders versus men leaders, is still stuck in a certain kind of paradigm that externalizes authority, right? And that like, which is inherently patriarchal, which is why like, even when police officers are people of color, there's still higher rates of gun violence, right? Like if the system is built on a certain kind of logic, you can't, plugging in a new person can
right doesn't work so essentially
so
it doesn't
much
right yeah it doesn't actually yeah. work so essentially it's still a flawed system. It's kind of like what you were saying, it's still it coming in from the back door. You're you're just doing the same thing over. So what's the alternative then? I believe in us being our own authorities, but I also believe that we have to have communities, and I do think that we have to have like there are different roles that people play in communities, and there is this idea of a leader. Like, I'm not even talking about like I'm not talking about like even in tribal communities.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think there's leadership that empowers people to, I'm thinking micro level, right? Cause I can't quite conceptualize how this works on a larger scale, but like at the micro level. Okay. I'll use my course as an example, not to sound like speaking of being, that's like a narcissist, but speaking of narcissists, like there's a way in which you can teach a course that's like, hi, I know all the answers and I'm going to sit up here and I'm going to talk at you for 90 minutes. And I might be brilliant and I might have a ton to offer. And like, I recently took a class with a woman who for 90 minutes just shared all of her information about how to use social media. And it was the best freaking class I ever took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. I definitely think there's a time class. And a place for that.
Yeah. So like, I think those can be phenomenal. What I'm trying to cultivate, and you know, we'll see, checking back in with me in 8 weeks, but is like, I'm going to hold the container and facilitate a space in which like we're experiencing something together. And I don't know more than you. I'm just the one who's currently standing at the front of the room.
Right. And who can reflect back to you.
And who can reflect back.
Right. Right. And who also I think can pull out like the wisdom within. So yes, that's, I get that on like a smaller level, but I think that's where my mind goes. Cause that makes sense to me. And I just think that is already happening, I think, on a micro level, but I guess I am thinking macro level, and I'm not asking you for answers. I don't think we have them here, but like,
did you have some visions of the macro level in your trip?
No, yeah. I did not. It was more just like a thought of like, holy shit, the like feminine energy, which I equate with like, again, it's all part, they're not separate. So masculine and feminine are not separate, but like you can do some crazy powerful things with divine feminine energy.
Yeah.
And if it's not respected and revered, I think actually that like,
oh, that's the, yeah.
Yeah. I could get.
So, because it's interesting that you, because for me, I feel like, I don't know what the answer to the macro level is, because I think we still have, like, this is a phase of the micro level. I think the evolution, like we were saying earlier, like when you heal yourself, you heal the world, like quite literally. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this shifting of like internal authority and facilitating rather than like, you know, how do I say this? I think as we figure this out, it's like it just will expand and naturally, organically evolve. That I can't believe I think these things now.
I know. So I love it though. I love witnessing it and seeing the change in you and in myself.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we do the podcast where we do like 10 things that we learned from this podcast. I think we're going to have so like, even just like from where we started not that long ago, we've already
I know. So much. Yeah. I know. You could do that just about the editing software.
Yeah. But that wouldn't be that 10 interesting.
New curse words that Eva learned.
Yeah. That wouldn't be that interesting for our audience. So spare
them. But yeah, I think we're just not there yet. So I think we can't see what the solution is for the macro level, because we're not like,
yeah,
like it's not ours to worry about yet, which I don't mean like, fuck it, don't vote. Like, I don't mean that, right. But I just mean like
focus on what you can control. And there's a lot of things that
you can't
control.
Because I think as we like right now, literally in our homes, like, expand. Cause to me, spiritual growth is always expansion. Anyway, I'm going to kind of lose the thread. So I'm just going to throw it back to you, because I feel like you're the one who had the trip and I won't.
Okay. Well, so I do think this ties into a theme I had about time. So like at one point I was watching this show on Netflix called Moving Picture. I think it's what it's called. Essentially, it's just like a nature doc, but like there's no narration. Like David Attenborough isn't there like talking about what's going on. It's just literally images of nature. And the episode I was watching was one on flowers. So the other thing that happens when you're-
It sounds amazing.
Oh my God.
We'll put a link to this in the show notes.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, you can like watch it before you go to sleep or like, anyway. I watched an episode on flowers. And when you're tripping, you know, you probably have also heard people say that you see things like the way that things just start moving and having a life of their own. That's why I feel like you're using more of your brain, because something is happening in your brain that is allowing still life objects to then move. Anyway, and so like pictures and images and colors are just so vibrant and like off the charts and everything looks really trippy. And I was watched partly, or what was happening in the show, it was like time lapse of a flower blooming, like going from whatever you call it, from like seed to growing to full bloom, and the colors like popping. And I had this thought about time, which is that like, let me see if I can explain this. The universe, if there were such a thing as like a God or like a universe, which is like who knows, you know, an all-knowing sort of entity. I think the universe sees human beings in each one of our lives as a flower, like, and they can see it in a time lapse, which means it's happening really quickly. And the evolution of a flower is that the flower does nothing to have its life, and everything happens exactly as it's supposed to. And it's so fucking beautiful. Like, how does that flower grow? No one can really explain it. We can say that, yeah, it comes out of the soil, blah, blah, blah. But like, we don't really know, but there's something happening where these flowers just naturally, without any effort, are coming into their full expression of themselves. And this, watching it through a screen, I was able to see it in the time lapse that like everything is exactly as it's supposed to be. And eventually it all is okay. Like everything that's supposed to happen is supposed to happen. So I feel like God can see that in us. Like every human has its natural expression of itself. But the problem is we're not seeing in a time lapse. We're living it in real time. So everything's actually kind of like very slow motion for us. We're living every hour, every minute, every second. And so we can't see it. So we don't have that perspective, right? So I was telling Adam this, and he was just like, yeah, like this is something that people say, which is like you step into a different time dimension, that people talk about how there's different dimensions of time, right? And I think that's what I was like seeing. I was like, oh, like that's why, like it's so simple. Like the reason I'm a sufferer is because I worry that things have to happen now on my timeline. And also there is a fear of death, right? Because our time feels like limited. And so there's this whole story. But then that's where reincarnation comes in. Like if you believe in reincarnation, the thing is like, the other thought I had is like, oh no, I'm just part of something way, way bigger, because life has been around for billions of years and we have no fucking clue what's going to happen. And like, it's all just exactly as it's supposed to be, but we live in fear because we want it to be something. We want it to be our way in this very kind of almost silly human existence of like a 9-to-5 job. Like the things that we worry about so much, which we think are so big, are actually just so...
And like, we know it ourselves, right? Like the things that we could, like, we're up all night worrying, and a month later, that very thing doesn't even really matter to us anymore.
Totally. Yeah. Which, so like,
not to diminish like the anxiety itself, like the emotions are real, but the things that they get attached to are just, I'm also, if you guys could see my face when Eva started talking about the flowers, I like did this, like put my head back, put my head in my hands kind of thing, because this is like a total full circle moment. So the way Eva and I met is that we both took this online course by Rebecca Tracy, which is a great course if anyone is like looking to start a business or has a business and wants to like figure out marketing. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. And very reasonably priced, I think, for what she offers. But anyways, we both took this course and that's how we met. It's called Uncage Your Life. And when I was going back and forth about whether I was going to take it, I was kind of in the beginning of this current, this, like I was in the beginning of this kind of spiritual reawakening, as some people call it. And I don't really resonate with Christianity anymore. Like Jesus seems lovely, but he's not like a character or a figure that I like talk to much. But for some reason, there's a story in the Bible, it was a parable that, I don't know if it's a parable, it was a story that Jesus tells where he's basically like, look at the flowers. Look at how amazing they are. If God can do that for flowers, like he's gonna take care of you. Mm-hmm. And I've always really loved that. And so when you take this course, Rebecca has you like in the first week, I think she had you like send in your, I don't know, an application. At some point I like filled out a form that I knew was going to come back to me at the end of it. And the thing that I wrote on the form was simply, I wrote, remember the little flowers. Mm-hmm. Which was my reminder to myself, like, you're good. Like, you're so held and cared for, and your dreams matter, and you matter, and everything is actually fine. Mm-hmm. And so I love the full circle that, like, that was my line, and it still is. Remember the little flowers is like a thing that I say to myself or will write down sometimes. And that, like, here you and I are. Yeah. Right? Like, what if I didn't take the course? I mean, I feel like we would have met each other.
And yeah.
Like, you clearly like destined.
Destined to be, yeah.
But like, yeah. And then here we are now having a podcast talking about the divine impact of exactly that story.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. I love this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't really know if there's more to say about that, but it is just this idea of like time is what causes so much suffering, which is, I think, was like why Eckhart Tolle is always like, if you don't have time, you don't suffer.
I know.
I don't actually have anything particularly profound to say about that because I will get sucked back into time, but that's what mushrooms do. It's just like, it drops just like a little hint of something for you to like remember and you will kind of like come back to it every now and again. But
you feel different now?
Yeah.
Because like, you, yeah.
Yeah. I feel, well, I'm not, I felt, I think last week when we recorded, which I was saying in the intro, I felt like something was missing and I felt I couldn't really put my finger on it, but this has really confirmed a lot of things for me. And a lot of it was also self-trust. It confirmed that like the things that I care about, it's okay to care about those things. Mm-hmm. And like the things that I put, another sort of takeaway was like the things that people dismiss as like silly, like as idealistic and maybe silly, the things that are like very heart-centered, like running a business or, you know, chasing your dreams, like those are real. Everything else is bullshit. Like, yeah. Listen to those things. Listen to your heart. Like, it's this message of being like, it's okay to put credence on those things as you should. Yeah. So yeah. But time is an interesting one because it's like, of course we care about time because we do only have limited time on it. I'm just thinking of like the listener who's like, yeah, well, that might sound nice when you're on a trip, but like the argument is like, yeah, but I do have a limited amount of time on Earth. So I like want to make the most of it. But I also think that's, part of me wonders if that's just another false thing.
Well, and we use this notion of like, make the most of our limited time on Earth to use our limited time on Earth to worry.
Yeah.
Like we squander it. Yeah. With this idea of I only have a little bit of time and am I doing the right things with my little bit of time and shouldn't mm-hmm. I be further along with my little bit of time mm-hmm. and like what if that person's mad at me during my limited amount of time?
Yeah.
And
so I have this quote on my wall. I'm gonna look for it. Oh yeah. So it says, God loves things by becoming them. So the idea is like where was I going with that? This idea of like our souls don't care about time, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's really kind of what I'm coming back to is like our souls, which are infinite or whatever, don't care about time. And so it's okay as a human if I care about time, but also just know that that's time is just a construct, which I do kind of think is true. And every once in a while, I will get to that place where I drop time. And I think that's just a continuous also goal of mine.
Well, right, because if you think about the moments when you felt most awake and alive, which isn't always necessarily the happiest, right? Because I think grief is one of these moments too, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like real, like actively grieving, not the like numbness that we carry around for ourselves, which is also part of grieving. But anyway, what am I trying to say? Like, okay, I'm a mom. I have two little kids. My daughter is one, so she doesn't speak yet. When your relationship doesn't involve language, I think there's a way in which you have to be present or are aware of in the ways in which you're not present very acutely. And when I like am really, really, really with her, like really with her, I'm not fucking worried about time. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the things that I have to do. I'm not in the things I have to do. I'm just like either sitting on the floor playing with her or even just like watching her, standing there watching her, but like I'm there mm-hmm. versus they're standing here watching her and like thinking about the mm-hmm. work emails that I have to mm-hmm. send or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think of what Eckhart Tolle has to say, which is like, you actually only have the now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the truth. Like you have the now and it just continues to be the now. It just fucking continues to be the now. The present doesn't really exist.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean the past and the future. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. The future doesn't really exist. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're just in the now, you just stay. Mm-hmm. But
you're constantly,
this is actually something I was like, just yesterday I went into my own records and was sort of like, because I was feeling nervous, right? It's the first week of my course, and I was just like, it's kind of like, what the fuck did you all convince me to do? Right? Because I feel so like, I actually was talking to my mentor and I started to cry. I was like, I feel so honored that these people are trusting me. I do not want to fuck it up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I like, I'm just blown away by their trust and by their bravery to be like, yeah, I'm worth, like me, the person signing up for this course, I'm worth 8 weeks of like loving myself. And like, I want to just, anyway.
Yeah. It's actually, it's very humbling. You know what I mean? Yeah,
like, it is the most humbling thing
ever. It's very humbling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is to say, so I went into my own records too, because I was like a little bit of, I mean, I go in there all the time, but I went in because I was a little bit of a hot mess. And the answer was just like, where are you right now? Mm. Where are you right now? Mm-hmm. Just be there. Mm-hmm. Don't be anywhere else than right now. And if you are right now, it will be so clear to you what you need to do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether it's to read a book, whether it's to research, whether it's to prep, right? Like, it's not that you're right now and therefore you like lay on the couch and don't do shit. Mm-hmm. It's that when you're really right now, you just know what to do next. So you do that.
Right. Well, also that you get clear enough to know, like, if you're in the right now, you get like calm enough to be like, okay, I'm not going to know what the next 10 steps are, but I will know what the next right step is, which is all that you need to know. You just need to. And then you just keep following those next steps and they continue to be your life.
Yeah. I want to make a Frozen 2 joke, but you haven't seen it. So I will
say, oh no, I watched it.
Oh, you did too?
Wait, did we not talk about it? I watched it and I love the male character.
Which one? Wait,
the mom? Yeah, Hans, because he says, I don't know if you remember, but he says something like, my love isn't that fragile. Times.
I know it okay. all.
Well, that part where he says, my love is not that fragile.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, holy shit. Like, that was a very intentional move by the writers to be like, oh, I'm a man who doesn't, I'm going to model for other boys what it looks like to be a man who's like the sidekick to a woman who doesn't need to be coddled. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh. I love that interpretation because I was mad about this movie for, not mad because I do really enjoy it, but I felt like I hated that his whole storyline was about, okay, you're giving me something good. I didn't like that his whole storyline was about marriage because I felt like it made the movie kind of very heteronormative. And like, I was like, I don't know, like just go have adventures. Like,
well, I do think it was that because it's still a Disney movie that's following certain archetypes, but it was clearly, there was a very, I think like intentionally there were two parts. The other part was when, who's the main, not Elsa, but the
Anna.
Anna. So Anna's like saving the day and she runs into Hans and Hans isn't like, here, let me do it. He's like, he specifically says, how can I help you? And I was like,
yes,
that's sexy as fuck.
You're totally reclaiming. This is good. This is good because also in the world of like Little Mermaids where like it's all about the girl wanting the prince, Anna's just off having a fucking adventure saving the world and Hans is like desperately chasing her to try to propose to her.
Yeah.
He's happy about that and she's happy about that and she gets to be fucking queen. So you know what?
Yeah. And he sings her a love ballad that isn't about like adventure, because usually the Disney male love ballads are like, about like adventure and let me conquer or whatever. This one's just purely like a rock 80s. Opera. Yeah, right. But him singing about love. And again, this part, I will like, it'll be,
oh, you're right.
You're in my memory where he was just like, cause it was really funny. I was actually in the movie. I was thinking how she was like, oh, but she totally ditched this guy. And I was like worried for her. Like, oh, is he going to be mad? But he just came back confident because he's secure in who he is. And he's like, it's okay. My love is not that fragile. And I was like, oh my God, this is genius.
Yeah. So, oh, goodness. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Go and watch it. If you haven't watched, if you need like a nice little.
Yeah,
it's fun. Pick me up.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's great.
But even I'm sure if you're a parent, you've seen it
300 times later, it's still great. I did make Desi watch Inside Out on Friday because it was my birthday, and Friday night we always make homemade pizza and we watch a movie.
Oh, I love that.
But I was like, Mom's picking the movie, so we watched Desi Calls It Inside Outside, which, if you haven't seen it, is also a great movie. But it's like the five primary human emotions inside this little girl's brain. Mm-hmm. And the five human emotions are like on an adventure at the same time. Like she's like moved and is trying to like survive in like a new school. Really too cerebral for a 3-year-old. Yeah. We're like halfway through the movie and he just goes, "What's this movie about?"
Oh my gosh.
Oh, and I was like, no, he still watched it.
I mean, it's a cartoon. He'll still,
yeah, exactly. But he was just like, it was funny how much, because I was like, and then I was like, even trying to explain things to him, and I was like, I don't even know how. But he did get the basic premise, which is like, sadness is a valuable emotion, and it's okay to feel sad.
Which is a big important lesson in itself.
Yeah. And full circle, I want my little boy to know it's okay to cry.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. So we have been talking for a hot minute and we haven't even talked about your birthday yet.
Oh, but it's okay because I'm more interested in talking about your birthday. Yeah.
Wait, can you hold on 1 second? Sorry. I'm just going to turn on the light.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just hate how dark it gets. I mean, that's it for me. I mean, I could go on and on, but like, those are the big takeaways. And I think that that's pretty good.
Okay. Well, so I did have a question for you though.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay.
And maybe this isn't something that you can answer, but what is it like, how do you receive information when you like, how did you receive the information? This like kind of knowing or these, was it visions? Was it?
It was actually all very cerebral. So that was one thing that I thought was very funny about the trip, because I was actually taking mushrooms to get out of my head. I wanted to like get out of my mind, but this actually made me more in my mind. And I was like, if I want to get out of my head, I'm not going to take mushrooms by myself. I think normally the best way to take mushrooms is in nature, like out in beautiful, beautiful nature with like, not necessarily with friends, but with friends, I think would be my preferred way. But because I couldn't go outside, that also made me very sad. There were points where I was just like looking forlornly, like at the trees and being like, I want to go outside, but it was so freaking hot and I was afraid of getting dehydrated. So, so I don't know why I was saying that.
So super cerebral.
Oh, right. So super cerebral. This actually put me more into my head and it just felt like, that's the thing I was telling Adam. I was like, it kind of felt like it was coming from outside of me. And he's like, who knows? Maybe it was. He's like, you don't know that it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but why do you ask? Do you have like,
well, because I think I'm just fascinated, you know, as someone who like channeled messages, I'm interested what the experience of receiving messages for other people, because I think it's really unique for everybody. And I also think I have this theory that we take for granted things that are obvious to us. So like, you know, someone who maybe receives a lot of messages through song, but thinks that that's not that special, or doubts because they're like, well, everybody like listens to a song, and then it's like, oh my God. But like, that doesn't ever happen to me.
Right. You know? Well, normally I know how I get, how I receive, which is something that I've cultivated through meditation, which is I get still and quiet and I just listen. And so it feels like it's a knowing that arises from within. That to me is, at this point, pretty second nature. But in my mushroom trip, I don't know how I was getting these messages. Is that,
but it,
I
think, felt, yeah.
Yeah, it felt different. It felt like, it was almost like I was having a conversation with somebody, but I wasn't actually talking out loud.
That seems legit.
Yeah. So that's,
in the world of Hello Universe podcast, that seems very legit.
But yeah, I just wasn't overanalyzing it too much. I was like,
right. Because you're just,
just in it. Anyway, so if anybody's listening and you're curious about taking mushrooms, you feel free to DM me, ask me questions. I'm happy to answer. I do think that if you're like in a state of mind that is healthy and you can do it in a safe environment, I actually encourage it for everybody who feels safe doing it. Like, again, if you've had like a previous bad trip and you're just going to be like freaked out the whole time, maybe not the best for you. Or also, you know, it's contraindicated, I think, with certain medications and all of that stuff. So there, obviously you don't want to be a dumbass about it. You just want to be smart about it. But I really believe that God, nature put this medicine like on the planet for a freaking reason. And it's like, it just opens up your whole world. I know that. So the first time I did psychedelics, I think was when I was like 18 or something, maybe 18 or 19. And I never saw the world the same way ever again. Like,
wow.
I know that I am who I am and the way that I am because of these experiences that I've had. They've just shifted my consciousness.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's profound.
Yeah. It was very obvious. And I was saying the same thing. And I was talking to Adam about it. He's like, oh yeah, same for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Any other questions?
I think that's it for now.
Okay. I think I will continue to have forays into this kind of experimentation, exploration. And when I do, I will be happy to share.
It's funny. You know, what's funny when you told me, cause you like sent me a message that you're like, I took mushrooms and I want to talk about the podcast. And again, as someone who has never taken psychedelics, I totally expected you to be like, okay, this was my vision. I saw this and I saw this and then this happened. And I knew like almost like a really intense dream. I think that's kind of what I expected you to come and share.
I see.
And I can see how much you're like, it was very cerebral because yeah, we basically just had a really intense philosophy discussion.
That was
actually the podcast.
Well, actually, so that was a different take. Another takeaway I had, which was like, I'm a very cerebral person. And I think sometimes I like criticize myself for that to be like, but one of my takeaways is like that's my gift. Like there are going to be other things that I'm just not good at and that's cool, but just like double down on the thing that comes to me naturally. And like having philosophical, really deep, heartfelt conversations is my jam.
Yes. So that's actually exactly the point I was making about like, we take for granted and actually to your point, sometimes devalue the things that come naturally to us in part, I think because they're easy and we assume things should be hard all the time.
Yes, exactly.
That like, yeah, you're like, oh, I shouldn't be cerebral, but you are.
Yeah.
So how do you make it work for you?
Exactly.
Right? So you're not caught in like a worrying state of mind, but
That being said though, again, I've had many different experiences and sometimes there are visions and it's different for every person. So I think it was just the fact that I was by myself. Yeah. I just reverted to like what comes naturally to me.
Yeah.
What's interesting is when you're doing it with other people, every person brings in a different element. And so it's going to change your whole experience. But this was, I seriously cannot believe that I did mushrooms by myself. Like that was a big step for me and I'm 30 fucking 6 years old. I don't know. Like, I just have this idea of like, I always wondered when I got older, if I would stay true to the ideals of my youth. And like, this kind of like felt like, oh yeah, like
I'm still that person.
I'm still that person. And like,
yeah,
like I'm going to continue. If anything, as I grow older, I like, I'm even more passionate about diving in.
Yeah.
This way.
Yeah.
Which is,
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
I love it so much.
All right. So I just talked all about this. Is there anything in specific you wanted to highlight?
No.
No.
No, this was perfect.
Thank you so much for giving me a space to process and for processing some of this with me because I think I really needed that. It was really helpful.
This was really fun. I'm so grateful to like secondhand benefit from your trip.
What about joy? Do you want to share one thing that's bringing you joy?
Okay. So my birthday was Friday and it was a interesting birthday because we're in quarantine. And okay, I'm going to give a long answer to this question. Sorry.
Yes, do it.
I was having a good day, but like something felt off a little bit all day. And at the toward later, like 4 in the afternoon, I watched this video that my in-laws sang happy birthday to me. Like sent me a video. It was the cutest thing ever. And I just started to cry because I realized how much I missed my people. And so much of this experience, I've been lucky enough to be busy. Right. And busy and in very purposeful ways. I have 2 small kids. I have a corporate job. I'm running a business. I'm doing a podcast. Like I can very easily get up in the morning, go, go, go nonstop, but things that I enjoy doing and then I go to sleep at the end of the night. And so I can push away how much I miss my people because I can make my life feel really full. And there was something about my birthday that was like, oh,
yeah.
I just want to like have my best friends over and like hug them and, you know, see their faces, you know? Yeah. And so that was, that made the day complicated. Mm-hmm. But what was a really beautiful lesson was the first half of the day, I kind of just felt off and I kind of had the feeling of like, the shoulds were arriving. Like, I kind of should be happier. Is it my birthday? And then, which is why birthdays are complicated. Then I cried. And then I went into the room that Nick was in and I cried to him. I was like, I just fucking miss everybody so much. And I just want to be able to do something that's normal. And it also was a day that really felt like summer. And so then I was also grieving like the summer routines that we do that I was really excited about doing with our kids and like not feeling like those aren't going to be an option this year. And so anyway, the beautiful lesson was that after I cried, it was the best fucking part of the whole day. Because like I like inside outside, as Desi calls it, like sadness has a real purpose to play. And when we push our grief away, then we are also pushing our joy away. And I needed, it was a real gift to cry about how much I miss my people and to cry about how much I, you know, there's a really beautiful, really old, carousel. It was like a big beach near where we live. And there's like a really old carousel there. And we take like, we take the kids there all the time in the summer and we're not going to get to do that this summer. Like, and that's, it's all okay. And also it felt really important to like cry about it. You know,
To grieve it and acknowledge it.
And then because of that, I got to have a really like the rest of the afternoon was, that was like the best part of the day. And I was like, I just need to do something normal. So we called ahead Dairy Queen.
Oh yes.
And we got Dairy Queen blizzards. And because that was one of the things that I was crying. I was like, I just want to take our kids to get a fucking ice cream cone.
Oh, I love
and
that.
So we did call ahead Dairy Queen and went and sat in a park. And our kids were like beside this. Birdie never had ice cream before. She's one. And she was like,
oh, wow.
Like loving it. And Desi got his own blizzard, which he'd also never had. And it was great. And it was just really sweet and fun. So I think my answer to your question is letting myself actually be sad brought me joy. And also Dairy Queen blizzards brought me
joy. Wow, that's such a beautiful answer, Kylie.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking like, also I think allowing ourselves to be sad and that crying, I'm just really feeling with you because I think I can understand that feeling of like longing for people. That was something that I experienced. I just fucking miss shit, damn it. And I felt lonely on parts of my trip, primarily one because I was tripping by myself, but also, but it just like emphasizes also what's happening in the world, which is like so cut off. And I was like, I feel lonely. But anyway, sorry, just to more about what you're saying is like, I think crying is also like so cathartic. It's like such a release and it feels good to like get it the fuck out sometimes. And like,
So you gotta let it just
have its life.
Let it go, you know? And I think it's hard. I think like I spent most of the day being like, something feels off. What is off? Like it wasn't like I was walking around consciously denying my fact that I was grieving my people.
Yeah.
And that I think is what's tricky is when we feel off, but we don't even know how to tap into it.
Yeah.
You know,
I hate that. It's like something, but you don't know why, you know, something's off, but you're not sure why.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But here's where I think listening to your intuition is valuable because I was nursing my daughter and I just felt like I'd seen the video all day, but in that moment of like the quiet in her room nursing her, I just felt the strong pull to be like, oh, I should watch that video they sent me. And then that was the release that I got. And it was in this like nice quiet moment with my, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, again, I think if we cultivate listening to ourselves, we will guide ourselves to a way to get the release that we need.
Yeah.
So then you can go eat a Dairy Queen blizzard.
And now I want to get a Dairy Queen blizzard too, because Adam was actually talking about that over the weekend. So maybe we'll do that this week. And all
the things that we like, the things that we miss.
Yeah.
How about you, Eva? What is bringing you joy?
Okay. So I thought about this question before we started recording and I was like, I wonder if I should say this, but it's what feels true to me. So I will say this. What is bringing me joy is myself.
I love you.
I'm just going to say that really honestly, I'll say it unapologetically because I feel like when I have going on this trip, mushroom trip, really did feel like I went on a journey with myself. And you have to just, I liken it to, you know, that movie Wild, which I think was also a book. Who wrote that book?
Cheryl Strayed.
Yeah. Cheryl Strayed. Right. Book. Right. So I haven't read the book, but the movie is like she's her sole companion and she has to completely rely on herself to like walk the Appalachian, is it the Appalachian Trail?
It's the Pacific Crest Trail.
Right. Okay. And it's just like intense and you have to hold yourself up the whole time and you get really close with yourself and you rely on yourself. You listen to yourself. And that's kind of what I felt like I went through. And I didn't, you know, not that I thought that I was going to let myself down, but it like reinvigorated my self-trust, I think.
Yeah.
And also like reaffirmed that I like myself, which I could not, you know, could not say for many, many years of my life.
Yeah.
And that, I feel empowered. I think maybe that's what it is.
I love this so much.
Yeah.
What a gift. Also, may we all feel this amount of self-love, right? Like to bring it full circle, this is it. This is actually what we are allowed access to, is like really finding yourself to be the thing that's bringing you joy. Like that's a thing that we all are allowed. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that for us.
Oh yeah. You're welcome. Thank you for having the space for me to do that.
All right, listeners, after that love fest, you're all gay.
Yeah, seriously. May you all please find Kylie's in your life though, because it's such so nourishing.
Guys, Eva texted me on my birthday, happy birthday, sacred one. There is no better happy birthday text than happy birthday, sacred one. Aww. Speaking of Love Fest, if you are enjoying this podcast, yeah, that for a transition.
Love it. Good job.
Please share it with a friend because that's the best way to get the word out that, you know, share what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Rate and review, follow us on the gram. Mm-hmm. We would love it if you joined our Facebook group. It's a Hello Universe Facebook group. Link is in the show notes. It's such a beautiful, vibrant community of people sharing. We are obviously posting in there and sharing in there. I've been doing live Oracle cards at least once a week. I sometimes do impromptu ones more often. So guys, join and just get a free reading. The other day, a woman in our Facebook group gave her a reading, and part of her reading, I was like, you need to dance. I like was like moving like a window while I was doing her reading. I was like, you need to dance. She messaged me a couple, like 2 weeks later and was like, in the reading, you told me that I should dance. I've been dancing and 95% of my back pain is gone.
Oh my gosh.
So guys, Whoa. This is what you also could get if you join our Hello Universe.
For free, by the way.
Yeah.
For free. And there's like lots of support because honestly, it's direct access to Kylie and I, and not just us, but like also the wealth of knowledge of the other people in the group. And that's what we're hoping, that it can be a resource for when you are going through shit or you have questions about your own personal development, you know, like how confused about,
you have your own inner wisdom that you get from going on a trip that you want to share and inspire us.
Yes. Yes, please. We want to make that a space for people to do so. So yes, come find us on Facebook and Instagram and all the things.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Love y'all. Bye.